This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Thursday's headlines. And while it was Earth Day 2010, President Obama did not focus on the environment, but on the push to get the Democratic version of financial regulatory legislation passed through Congress within the next few days. The president went to Cooper Union College in New York City, very near Wall Street, where he once again gave a light tongue-lashing to the financial sector and laid out the points as to why he thinks the Democratic version of this bill is the way to go. As of right now, the legislation could still be modified to win a considerable number of Republican senators in order to put together a consensus on an issue here in Washington for the first time in a long time. During his speech today, President Obama says it's important for everyone on Wall Street to remember that every decision made up in the middle of New York City also has an impact on Main Street.
Some, and let me be clear, not all, but some on Wall Street forgot that behind every dollar traded or leveraged, there's a family looking to buy a house or pay for an education, open a business, save for retirement. What happens on Wall Street has real consequences across the country, across our economy.
The president also took aim at some of the Republican talking points on the Democratic legislation, saying in no way does this bill set up a permanent bailout culture. He says that's the exact thing he wants to avoid.
And I encourage that debate. But what's not legitimate is to suggest that somehow the legislation being proposed is going to encourage future taxpayer bailouts, as some have claimed. That makes for a good soundbite, but it's not factually accurate. It is not true.
Oh, yes, it is, according to Brian Westbury, former chief economist for the Joint Economic Committee of Congress, who spoke with me earlier today. He says when you look at the provisions of the bill, particularly a $50 billion fund, it's impossible to come to any other conclusion.
Why else would you need $50 billion? I'm at a loss to explain the argument or how there could be an argument about this. If the government wants a permanent fund to help during a crisis, it's hard to imagine some future Congress or some future president or Treasury secretary not using that money in whatever way they wanted to.
The president pointed out in his speech today that the legislation would give the government to step in before firms that are right now considered too big to fail got into a position where a bailout was the only recourse. That way, taxpayer dollars could be saved. He also talked about how the bill would create a consumer financial protection agency housed within the Federal Reserve. He says not to regulate excessively on Wall Street and elsewhere in the financial sector, but to help everyday Americans make their decisions. He says anybody who should be in favor of this bill, unless you're crooked.
So instead of competing to offer confusing products, companies will compete the old-fashioned way by offering better products. And that will mean more choices for consumers, more opportunities for businesses, and more stability in our financial system. And unless your business model depends on bilking people, there's little to fear from these new rules.
But Brian Westbury says anytime the government starts adding more regulations, it's unnecessary and never helpful.
This concept that we need government to regulate the private sector to keep things stable, I've never believed in it. I think it's not true.
In the end, Obama says he loves the free market, but it needs a little help from the government.
I believe in the power of the free market. I believe in a strong financial sector that helps people to raise capital and get loans and invest their savings. That's part of what has made America what it is. But a free market was never meant to be a free license to take whatever you can get, however you can get it.
In the end, Westbury says this could have ended up a whole lot worse, but he says the ultimate goal of this legislation will not be achieved.
By the way, this financial bill that they're talking about, it's going to be watered down a little bit before it passes. It's not as bad as health care, or it's not going to kill the economy or the financial system tomorrow, but it's also not going to prevent another crisis from happening. They say that every time, and it never works.
To hear my complete interview with Brian Westbury, the former chief economist for the Joint Economic Committee of Congress, head to worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org. While there, you can also hear my weekly conversation with John Gizzi of Human Events, who believes that this financial reform legislation is not a done deal. And you'll hear my discussion with Stephen Hayes of the Weekly Standard as he reveals just how much Iran is increasing its involvement in the U.S. war in Afghanistan as it sends a whole lot of money and a whole lot of deadly weapons to our enemies in that country. Speaking of the U.S. military, a couple of black eyes for the armed forces today. First of all, a U.S. Navy SEAL was cleared Thursday of charges he covered up the alleged beating of an Iraqi prisoner. The prisoner was suspected of masterminding the grisly 2004 killings of four American security contractors whose bodies were burned and hung from a bridge in Fallujah. A six-man Navy jury found Petty Officer First Class Julio Huertas not guilty of dereliction of duty and impeding the investigation. The prosecution of Huertas, as well as two other Navy SEALs, has drawn a whole lot of outrage in this country, and the only allegation really is that this heinous terrorist may have gotten punched once. The other SEALs, Petty Officer Second Class Matthew McCabe and Petty Officer Second Class Jonathan Keith, still have yet to face their court-martials. McCabe is the one actually charged with assaulting the terrorist in question. And back closer to home, the United States Army is caving into pressure that hasn't even arisen yet regarding the appearance of Evangelist Franklin Graham at the Pentagon's National Day of Prayer service scheduled for May 6th. Graham says that invitation has now been rescinded as a result of comments he made 9 years ago, as well as some more recently, about the religion of Islam. Graham says he regrets the decision to rescind the invitation, but he says he still strongly supports the U.S. military. In a statement, Graham says, "I regret that the Army felt it was necessary to rescind their invitation to the National Day of Prayer Task Force to participate in the Pentagon's special prayer service. I want to express my strong support for the United States military and all of our troops. I will continue to pray that God will give them guidance, wisdom, and protection as they serve this great country." 9 years ago, in the immediate aftermath of the 2001 terrorist attacks, Graham had said Islam is a very evil and wicked religion. As a result of that, Army spokesman Gary Tallman told Fox News on Wednesday that Graham's, quote, presence at the event may be taken by some as inappropriate for a government agency. An executive agent at the Pentagon chaplain's office determined that it needed further review. Graham clarified his comments more recently, in fact this week, saying the following, quote, "I want them to know that they don't have to die in a car bomb, don't have to die in some kind of holy war to be accepted by God. But it's through faith in Jesus Christ and Christ alone." Graham said he loves the Muslim people, just not their religion, which he called horrid for its restrictions on women, among other things. He says he will speak out for people who live under Islam that are enslaved by Islam, and that he wants to know that they can be free. That's a look at Thursday's headlines. One more interview for you to check out at worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org. My conversation with Dr. Leighton Stewart, author of Fire, Ice, and Paradise. He will explain why carbon dioxide is a good thing, that we're seeing more of it in our atmosphere, and why the rise of carbon dioxide has nothing to do with alleged global warming. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.